Please, can you tell us how did you come to the Holocaust music? Because it's a special art of music.
Well, I grew up in New York City, in the Bronx. And the neighborhood that I grew up in was maybe 99% Jewish immigrants, mostly from Eastern Europe, Poland, Czechoslovakia, Russia before the Soviet Union, not too many after in those days. This is I'm talking about the 1930s and 1940s. And I heard songs. I didn't recognize them specifically as Holocaust songs. The term maybe hadn't even been invented yet. But I heard songs of the Spanish Civil War, which to me is an important part of the pre-Holocaust repertoire. I heard songs, Die Moorsoldaten was one of the very first songs that I heard, sung by Paul Robeson, who did it in German, I believe, and maybe English too. And I was then playing the mandolin and the guitar, and just singing folk songs in general, American folk songs mostly, blues and protest songs. But little by little, over the years, without really intending to do it, I began to hear more and more of what we are now calling Holocaust songs. But I was just absorbing them without really thinking that this is what I really want to do. It was just part of what I was doing when I was playing the guitar. I wasn't performing them really, but I was just absorbing them, just getting them to my level of consciousness. And it wasn't until much later in my life when I was actually had already gotten my master's degree in music from New York University that the techniques of interviewing and digging out music and transcribing it began to crystallize in my mind and made it easier for me to go from one thing, which was, let's say, blues and protest songs and civil rights songs in the U.S., to this kind of music. And I realized that I knew more than I thought I knew in terms of the repertoire. Also, where I was living, there were people who knew songs. And you start talking and interviewing, not really interviewing, but just talking with them. And they say, yes, we know a song, or maybe we don't know a song, but he knows it or she knows it. You have to ask them. And little by little, that plus my interest in languages led me into this field. Because I had studied Spanish in high school and German in university, and I heard it around my home, Yiddish and Russian. So I was all ready to accept this kind of music as something that meant something to me. But when I really started digging into this in 1997, 98, then it became a full-time, not obsession, but a real, almost like a job. I was meeting people, traveling, not to Europe, but around, even in my own neighborhood. I got to know Jaap and Ina Polak. They were prisoners in Westerbork, and they came to the United States after the war. They survived all the Dachau and all the rest of that. And they supplied me with some Dutch songs that I will be singing in the program. And the Spanish songs I remember from the Civil War, sung by Pete Seeger and by Paul Robeson. And I said, well, there's more to it than that. And the thing was that living in this Jewish neighborhood, Eastern European Jewish neighborhood, it was almost assumed that songs that dealt with the Holocaust all came from Eastern Europe. But actually, as I got more and more into it, I realized that the Holocaust took place all over Europe. And in my book, which eventually was published, The Undying Flame, there are 110 songs in 16 languages. Let me just read you the languages. Yiddish, German, Hebrew, French, Spanish, Dutch, Italian, Ladino, Serbo-Croatian, Greek, Norwegian, Czech, Polish, Russian, Hungarian, and some in English as well. And it was a revelation to me that I realized, of course, the Nazi aggression was all over Europe, and poets and writers and musicians in any time and in any country and in any era, when they have something to say because of hard times and conditions, they turn to music and they turn to poetry. And so these songs were ready to be gathered. You just had to have the right connections. Some of them had been published before, but never compiled in one big volume. So it took several years just to get the thing rolling, to get the music arranged for piano and for guitar, get the songs. We have them in sort of chronological order, starting with pre-war. I borrowed a title from Winston Churchill. The Gathering Storm was one of his volumes in his autobiography, 1933 to 1939. And then Shoah, 40 to 45. That was most of the songs. And then post-war songs, because after the war, when the war ended, life went on, and people, some of the survivors, began coming to America and remembering the songs, singing the songs. But other things began to happen in social consciousness. There was, for example, the Vietnam War, and nowadays even more terrible genocide things. And there were songs written now about them, and some of them refer back to the Holocaust as reference points. That how did this happen? How did people let this happen? And some of the songs are answered, the questions are answered, ask and answer. How could it happen? And the songs themselves shed a light on what people were thinking and how they managed to keep those songs alive. And that's now my goal, to keep going and singing these songs wherever I can. I've done them mostly in the States, but I performed in England and in Italy. And now here for the first time, I'm in Germany. When I was in Italy a couple of years ago, one person asked me after the concert, "Have you ever performed in Germany?" Seemed like a logical question. And he was surprised to hear that I had never. And I said, "Yes, I'm waiting for an invitation." And finally, here we are, 2014, the invitation has come, and I'm very happy to be here to do it.
Before we talk about the special situation about the songs in Germany, could you explain this music, these Holocaust songs, this Holocaust music? Holocaust is such a sad, such a hard topic. Is this all sad music?
Well, sad maybe is one way of looking at it. There are protest songs and resistance songs, which are more defiant. I wouldn't say they're certainly not happy songs, but neither are they laments. They are songs about fighting back and resisting and hoping for the better future. And of course, many of them are terrible, terrible songs about people being put to death and families being separated. The repertoire is very mixed. It depends upon the circumstance of where the songs are being sung. Some songs were written before the war, for example, by Hans Eisler and Bertolt Brecht, who were exiled in England in the 1930s or 1936. And they got together and they wrote a very, very powerful song, Das Einheitsfrontlied, which was translated into many languages. Are you familiar with the song? Have you ever heard it? Yeah. And I have it here in German, and I made a singable English translation, but there's also, I'm going to do it in Spanish, in German, in French, and in Yiddish. So just to show that these songs have universal appeal. It's not just Germany. It may have started in Germany, unfortunately, but the idea of humanity and people resisting and people singing about these problems, that's a universal feeling. Germany was the focal point in 1933 and so on. But after that, it spread really all over the world in different languages and different modes of expression.
How special is it for you tonight to play here, to play in Germany?
Well, it's an extraordinary feeling. You know, I have mixed feelings about it. I'm always interested and happy, if that's the word, to perform these songs wherever I do. I waited a long time to come to Germany. I would have been very glad to have come sooner. The situation never arose until now. So it's really something that it means a lot to me. And if glad is the word, I don't know, but certainly a satisfaction of finally bringing it home to where it all began. That's an important, a very important aspect of my performance here tonight in Northern.
Can you say something about the audience? How did they react when you play the Holocaust songs?
Well, I can't tell you about tonight in Germany because I haven't been there yet, but that's a very interesting question. Unlike most concerts where the artist is on stage under the lights and the audience is sitting there in the darkness of the theater or the hall or the auditorium, I always ask that the lights be left on so that I can see them as much as they can see me, so that it's really a conversation in music, not just the star, the artiste, performing, but it's a messenger bringing to the audience the stories and the stories I have to tell. And the audience, let me tell you that the reaction of the audience is almost of hypnotic attention. You can hear silence in the hall. Once in a while you see a tear rolling down somebody's cheek, certainly of the older people, some of whom are and were survivors. Younger people who perhaps are hearing some of the songs and the stories behind the songs for the first time. The stories behind the songs are as fascinating and as important as the songs themselves, because they explain the circumstances in which the songs were written. Just to sing a song by itself, it's okay, but somebody who was not old enough to remember it say, yes, well, okay, it's a nice song, but what? Where does it come from? Well, so I have to tell the story. So the audience, there I am looking them in the eye, and they're looking me in the eye, and we're having a conversation. I'm telling them, look, this happened here because of this. So-and-so wrote it, or maybe we don't know who wrote it, but the song survived. And I don't have to say listen and pay attention, because I see that they're staring me right in the face, and I'm looking back at them. And that also, I don't want anybody to applaud during the concert. It's not a musical program. It's more than that. It's an emotional experience. Yes, they would like to applaud, and I'm always grateful for applause. We wait till the end of the program. During the program, it's silence, except for the music. And that's the way I like to present it. Germany and everywhere else. I'm sure that tonight's program will be the same thing. The people, many of the people will know some of the songs. Most of the people will not know most of the songs. I'm singing songs that I'm pretty sure have never been heard before in Germany. And when I perform in the States, there are songs that have never been heard before by the people in the States who think they know something about Holocaust music, but are always surprised to hear. I mean, Americans don't think of France, let's say, as a place where songs about the Holocaust were sung, or Norway, or Italy, but it happened all over. Here in Germany, when I sing a German song, some of them will know the songs. When I come back and sing some other songs in other languages, they may be surprised. Some Germans may think that these songs exist only in Germany, just as I thought when I was a youngster, that these songs only existed in the Bronx, that people just sang them because that's what they sang. So this is really bringing together the different worlds, the European world, the American world, through the music. That's the story of my life, so to speak.